I hate going second. I hate going second. That was just tremendous. Jonah, please turn me to the book of Jonah. I thought I was going to be preaching out of Romans chapter 8, but God completely changed my message. And he wants me to preach on a thought out of this book, particularly looking at chapter 2, but kind of looking at a survey over the whole entire book. And I have a title which is kind of long, but it's The Sovereignty of God in the Life of Jonah. And I want to begin reading verse 1 of chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas. And the floods compassed me about, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remember the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. If you have been in church any time, a part of your life, the book of Jonah, the story of Jonah is a very familiar story. We all know the story about how the Lord came to Jonah and he said, I want you to go to Nineveh. I want you to go preach unto them. And he did not go. And there are many reasons that people look into. Why did Jonah not go? Many people believe because at that time the Ninevites were some of the most awfulest people to the Jews. They slaughtered Jews. They tortured Jews. And that's one of the reasons. But he doesn't go, but he turns and goes to Tarshish, and whenever he goes, he finds a boat down in Joppa. He gets in a boat, and the Lord was preparing a storm that was about to come, and before the storm had come, Jonah was in the ship asleep, and whenever he was in that ship, the storm came, and it literally about broke the ship, and it about broke the ship where all the men on there were tossing things off, trying to make the ship lighter. They were tossing up sacrifices unto their gods, and the shipmaster comes to Jonah at the bottom of the ship and says, why are you not casting up sacrifices unto your God? Do you not understand that there's a storm going on that's about to break this ship, that's about to tear up this ship? And Jonah confesses to them and tells them that this storm is caused because he disobeyed the Lord. And he says, you've got to cast me over. You've got to put me away. And they said, no, we're not going to do it. And they just go back to casting off things. And then sooner and later, they realize that we have to cast Jonah off. And they toss him into the sea. And we have right here in Jonah chapter 2, the prayer of Jonah right after everything had happened in the belly of the whale. And I want to work our way through this scripture, particularly looking, let's begin at verse 2. And said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. He said, I cried by reason of mine affliction. Meaning, there's something inside me. There's something that's bothering me. Something that's weighing me down that I have to confess it to you. I have to say something to you. And he said that he heard me. But I want to look at this. He said, out of the belly of hell. Now, there's some men who preach that they believe that Jonah died and went to hell and out of some belief of that. But I believe the idea here is this. Is hell is more than fire and brimstone and just people burning up in the flesh and everything like that. Hell is the second death. Hell is separation from God. And I believe what Jonah is saying, Jonah being a saved man of God, the prophet of God who cannot go to hell, I believe he's saying this, that I feel so separated from God. I believe I am in the belly of hell. I believe that God is not hearing my prayers. The way I feel right now, as I was in the bottom of the sea, he said, I believe I'm separated from God because God cast me into the depths of the sea. And now I'm in this whale right now. This passage of scripture does not say a whale, but we realize in Matthew chapter 12 that Jesus himself says that Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. But I want you to see something in here where even though Jonah feels like he's in the belly of hell, even though Jonah feels he's separated from God, he has this assurance about him. He has this confidence about him that God hears my voice. No matter how I feel, no matter the circumstances that are going, even if God did put me in this place, God heard my voice. Yes, I understand that, if you regard iniquity in your heart, he will not hear you. I understand that absolutely. But I want to let you know something. God always hears his children. There's not a prayer that you've never prayed that God did not hear. God always listens to his children. Always. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And if you have a true heart and you're seeking God and you want him to do something, he heard your prayer. But I want to go a little bit deeper into this. A lot of people preached this chapter as if though the whale was the chastising of Jonah. That the whale, and I'm sure it was a part of it, but Jonah does not speak that much about the whale in this passage. He speaks much about his experience in the water. Let's look at verse 3. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas. You know what he's saying there? God, you put me in this place. You cast me into this deep of the sea. You were the one who orchestrated everything that took place for me to get right here where I needed to be. You put the spot. You were there where I needed to be. You see, everything that he's saying is past tense. And he's looking back and he's saying, God, you did this. You put me in the depths of the sea. And here's something that's so interesting. Whenever God is working in your life, whenever God is moving in your life, you honestly cannot tell it at the time. The way that God works is almost as a flower. You plant a seed and you water and you take care of it, and it seems as though there's nothing growing, nothing's coming about, and then sooner and later, just a few days, you'll see a little plant growing there. That's the way God works. The way God works is in that moment, whenever you feel as though he can't hear you, whenever you wonder, why, God, why are you doing this to me? He's working, but you never realize that he's working until afterwards. You look back and you see that God did this. You look back and you say, God, you are the one who put me here. You are the one who made me go through this. You are the one who did everything. He said, for thou hast cast me into the sea. But he goes deeper and he says, the floods compass me about. All thy billows and all thy waves passed over me. He's saying that there was nothing that came over me. There was nothing that hit me. There was nothing that wrapped itself around me that you did not put there. And I want to let you know something. If you are saved, child of God, God owns you. You belong to him. And everything that you go through in your life, everything that God puts about you, it was because of him. He puts you through a season and a time, and you wonder, is God really doing this? Did God really put this in my life? Did God really allow this to happen in my life? And Jonah is looking back and he's saying, God allowed this. God put me here for a reason. God made me go through everything for a reason. And then he says in verse 4, then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. See, he says at first, he says, I feel as though I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. He says, I will look again. Here's something I believe that we all struggle with. One is subjecting ourselves to the way we feel about the moment. We have a whole lot more comfort in our feelings than we do in what God has said. I believe we all struggle with this, where it looks as though there is no end, where it looks as though this is never going to come to pass. Even though God has already promised that it would. And Jonah says this, even though I feel as though you are not hearing me, even though it feels as though as I'm cast out, I will look again. And he just doesn't mention this one time, he mentions it a second time to drive the point home. That you can't always depend on how you feel. You can't always depend on what it looks like in the circumstance. What you got to say is, I'm going to plant my feet and say, I will stand upon what God has said, and that he said he would always hear me, that I will never be plucked out of his hand, and that I can get to God. But look at this, verse 5. I just want to work our way through the text. The waters compassed me about even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. But look at verse 6. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. He said, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. He said, God cast me as deep as he wanted me to go. And he said, the earth with her bars, the oxygen started to leave, and it was like his very lungs were about to collapse. He said, yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. I want to make this clear. The reason why I named this the sovereignty of God in the life of Jonah is because this Jonah is clearly stating in everything that the Lord had a part to play in everything that took place. It was never, God would have loved if Jonah would have said, yes, I'll go, Lord, and not let fear take control of him. But God, knowing everything, knew that Jonah would disobey. He knew that Jonah would be afraid and go down into Joppa, would flee to Tarshish, would get into the ship, and that the storm would happen, and that he would have to be cast into the sea. God knew all that. God, it even says that God prepared the storm. And I'm going to let you know something. God prepared the storm for Jonah. God prepared the men that were on the ship for Jonah. God prepared the boat that was on there for Jonah. Why? Because God knew that Jonah was going to slip and mess up. God knew that Jonah was going to be disobedient. And Jonah, the only conclusion he came to was that God worked in my life whenever I was disobedient and whenever I was going to slip and fall. God came and said, he brought me up from corruption. Have you ever experienced this? I don't know about you, but at times where I believe I'm about to slip, where I believe I'm about to fall, and I think that the Lord is just not there, and I wonder just like, is it even worth it to keep on going? I've fallen, I've sinned. And I just think, because The way, everything that the Lord has put me through, everything that that the Lord has made come to pass, I always think, God, I should not be here. It makes no sense for God to bring my life out of corruption. Just statistically, from the way I was raised and what I was born into, it makes no sense that I should be behind this pulpit preaching to you. It makes no sense as someone who was born with two parents that had abandoned them and that were on drugs. And I'm not trying to make you feel bad for me. I'm just saying this, and that Jonah had a realization in his life that it was God that had brought him up from corruption. And it's the realization in my life that I see that even though the circumstances I went through, everything that I've gone through, from my parents to my grandpa to everything, it was God who was with me. It was because of the sovereignty of God in my life that He moved. He came and said, I'm not going to let you fall. I've got a better plan for you, and I'm going to do great and mighty things through you. It's only by the sovereignty of God. It's only because God said it was fit enough. He said He'd be a father to the fatherless. And it's only by that. He said, whenever my soul was fainting, I remember the Lord, and I just look back and I think, I shouldn't have got saved. I should be in hell. I should be on drugs. But God said, I'm not going to let that happen. It makes no sense. I can't explain the sovereignty of God to you. I can't explain any of that. All I know is that statistically, I should not be here. I should not be able to preach. But God, through His grace and through His mercy and through His love toward me, has made this possible. And I know if you are a saved child of God, you have that reality in your life. I should not be here. I should not be born in America. I should not be on this pew right now. It's that God did this. God brought up my life from corruption. Verse 8. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. I'm going to let you know something. It was no mistake where Jonah got to. God orchestrated everything for Jonah to get to verse 9. Why? So he could learn salvation is of the Lord. Jonah doesn't believe that the Ninevites should even receive salvation from the Lord. But Jonah comes to this conclusion: it doesn't matter what I think. All that matters is that I will pay the vow that I have vowed. He's saying, I'm a prophet of God. God called me to be a prophet no matter what I think. And God brought him to this place. But I even go a step further to say this. Verse chapter 3, God brought Jonah through everything so that way Jonah could get to this place. So that way you can look at verse 3, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. God put this story in the Bible to show you that God is a God of second chances. That even though I may slip up and fail, even though my ego may get the best of me, God is a God of second chances. But I would even go, let me go a little bit step further on the sovereignty of God in the life of Jonah. God put Jonah through everything so he could have the power to preach the way he preached. God literally gave Jonah an 8-word sermon. In verse 4, he said at the latter of it, he said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Jonah preached that for 40 days. And sooner than later, whenever Jonah preached it and preached it and preached it, God put Jonah through everything to give him the power to preach, so that way the king of Nineveh and the whole entire nation can get saved. And according to chapter 4, 600,000 people got saved. God makes no mistakes. And I just want to, my time's up, but I want to conclude this thought. I don't know what you're going through, but God is working in your life. The sovereignty of God is not something we should be scared of. It should be a reality in our life that God is in control of everything.